Everyone, what a great way to start the TechEd breakout sessions by talking to you guys about Windows 8. What we're going to be talking today is about how Windows 8 can enable a flexible work style in your enterprise. My name is Brendan Byrne. I'm a senior consultant with Microsoft Services here in Auckland. And I just got to say, before I put up this next slide, it's really quite embarrassing because I asked my wife, I just wanted to say, listen, I want to say that I had all these different hats that I wear at work, you know, because I'm involved in virtualization, I'm involved in, you know, system center management, and I also look at Windows deployment. So I said, can you help me? Can you make something, you know, just so I can use it as a talking point? So she just sent me something about half an hour ago, and yeah, this is what she came up with. So I'm just going to quickly, I'm going to bubble heads. What the? But I love my wife, so I had to show it. She spent a lot of time last night doing that. So, Windows 8. You know, there's a lot of people out there that probably think, you know, Windows 8 is a consumer operating system. And you're probably even in the audience going, oh, yeah, you know, why would I want to install it in my business? So let's just take a quick look at the current technology landscape at the moment. You know, there's this real work-life blur at the moment. We've got this new generation of workers that are coming in, and they want to be able to use any of their devices anywhere. So they want to be able to use it at home, when they're out, when they're at work even. And there's also this expectation that if they do have a device, they should be able to do personal stuff on it, and they should be able to do work stuff on it. And people really have this love affair with their technology devices now. Have you noticed that? People, it's like just about a status thing, you know, you have a device because it's cool now, not because it can do something, because it looks cool. And we have devices here, probably not that you can see down the back, but, you know, devices are really changing to something that is actually nice to look at, and people want to use technology they love. On the other side of the equation, businesses want to make sure that their data is secure and protected, which is kind of a bit of a polar opposite to the convenience and mobility that a lot of people want these days. Also, businesses want to be able to manage their devices with as little operational overhead as possible. And now that you've got all these different devices and different locations and stuff like that, you need to be able to manage it no matter where they are. Also, there's productivity and profitability. Businesses want to see that their users are actually productive. And those devices need to be able to make users more productive. So let's look at some of the attributes of flexible work style. It's a term that we often use in Microsoft. You may be unaware what flexible work style means. You know, it's all about this consistent, personalized experience across Windows devices. So no matter whether it's your personal device, whether it's your work device, whether it's your phone, in some cases, if you go up a layer in the stack, you know, you can look at applications and be able to get applications across any device. It's also about being productive and being productive anywhere. So whether you're working in the office, whether you're working at a branch, whether you're working on the roads, whether you're working, you know, from home, you need to be productive in each of those places. But on the other side, you need, you know, that intelligent infrastructure. So you've got all these devices, so you need to be able to manage all these different devices through this unified management system. And if those devices aren't in the office, you need to be able to manage them when they're out on the road. So you've got to have, you know, cloud services that you can manage these devices with. And also, now that you've got all these devices and all these different locations, you've got to make sure that the data on those devices and the solution that you put in is secure end-to-end. So before we ask why Windows 8, and this is a conversation I had with someone you know, that works with me, and he said, well, why not just use Windows 7? Simply put, you know, Windows 7, Windows XP, it doesn't look like Windows 7, does it? Windows XP, simply put, is you can't achieve flexible work style with Windows XP. You might be able to get some of the attributes I just talked about, but generally they're hard to implement and hard to manage. So, why Windows 8? You know, there might be some people in the audience going, You know, I don't believe that, and I don't need Windows 8. You know, I've been using Windows XP for such a long time, for 10 years. I'm going to use it for another 10 years. It gets the job done. You know, that may be the case. And, you know, right at this point, I have to go and use a very obscure analogy to kind of get a point across. Now, my wife is kind of appearing a lot in this presentation, she loves those cooking shows. You know, we watch MasterChef Australia, MasterChef New Zealand, MasterChef UK, MasterChef US, MasterChef Mongolia, MasterChef, well, there's, I don't know what other MasterChefs there are, My Kitchen Rules. You know, whenever we're sitting down to eat our takeaways, she's always got a cooking show on. So when I thought about an analogy, it was kind of like, okay, what can I do? Oh, I've got to use a food one. So, you're going to have to work with me here. It's like cutting a tomato with a blunt knife, okay? So think about, hopefully you've had some experience with cutting tomatoes, but just imagine you've got this lovely, red, juicy, ripe, slightly soft tomato, and you've got your blunt, unserrated butter knife, and you want to slice that tomato. What happens? Well, you try slice it, and it doesn't really get through the skin, and it turns into a mess, and it's kind of like a horror show in the end, and it's taken longer, it's got you frustrated because the end result is just terrible. On the other hand, give me a sharp chef knife, I was struggling putting those two words together, sharp chef knife, and I can slice through it with ease, you know, quickly, efficiently, and the result is just what I wanted. And really, the analogy is just showing that, you know, Windows XP, it is like that blunt knife trying to cut through the tomato. And Windows 8 is more like that precision knife just slicing through it and getting the job done. You know, one of those is going to make my job significantly easier and make me more productive. So, time is running out. This is the shame the audience part of the session. No, it's not. But it's good for us to know kind of how many people might be still using Windows XP as their main operating system. Okay, let's just take a moment. We feel your pain. I feel your pain. I work on the latest operating system. As soon as there's an email that comes out which says, you know, this version is available, bam, I'm installing it. And then I go to a customer site and they've got Windows XP and they give me a machine to work on, and it's like, what do I do? It's like none of my shortcut keys work, and I need to open applications. So how do I do it? I start and then all programs and boof, all this, you know, massive menu of icons come up. So if you are in that situation and you haven't started a migration project, now is the time. I think from my calculation it's 19 months and 4 days away. So you really need to start on it now. The main reason is probably the dreaded application compatibility. So start early, get through it. Once you've kind of got out of the XP era, then actually application compatibility isn't as much of a problem as it was. If you're in the middle of deploying Windows 7, anyone in the middle of deploying Windows 7? Brilliant. Keep going. It's the fastest way to deploying Windows 8. You know, if you've got, and when we go through this, you might see scenarios that Windows 8 makes sense. Just do a parallel project on the side, because a lot of the tools that you use and a lot of the processes you use to deploy Windows 7 are pretty much exactly the same with Windows 8. And I think there's a session. I think Mike Niehaus has got a session on what's new in deploying Windows 8, so if you're interested about that. So the Windows strategy for business is actually quite simple, and it's quite unique. It's all about having devices and experiences that users love and balancing that with enterprise-grade solutions. Now, if you look at our competitors, you know, some of our competitors, you know, they've nailed the devices and experience, you know, users love. It's bam, out of the park. The whole sea of icons thing is starting to get a bit dated for me, but they've knocked it out of the park. But what do? Often, the enterprise is left out to hang. You know, there'll be certain things, certain limitations that they will tell you basically to work around rather than giving you an acceptable enterprise solution. Then we've got other competitors which are right down the other end of the scale, and they're really into the enterprise solutions. You know, no matter what they do, they would not be able to make a customer kind of delighted. Even, you know, IT geeks, it's boring stuff, but it has to be done. So you've got these kind of two different extremes. Microsoft's kind of in this unique place where we can achieve both. You know, with our hardware manufacturers, and if you look at the devices we've got down here, you know, they're very nice. I've got a lot of devices on my Christmas list. And also, pair that with Windows 8, and we've got the devices and experiences that we know users are going to love. But in the other end of it, we've also got the enterprise solutions kind of backing it all. So one of the first things we want to talk about, Windows 8. It really is an enterprise business tablet. You know, you look at other tablets out there, and my opinion is they're kind of like the blunt knife cutting the tomato. They're a very cool blunt knife, but still a blunt knife. So let's talk about what Windows 8 can give you in the tablet space. Now, I have a big list here. So I'm going to have to read my list. And as I go through the list, just think about, you know, the features that Windows 8 is going to provide you, and just maybe in your mind just compare those type of things. So let's go through them. First, touch, first class citizen. Mouse, first class citizen. Keyboard, first class citizen. Pen or stylus, first class citizen. These are all native. Not afterthoughts, not secondary add-ons, they're all native in Windows 8. Now let's go through the bigger list, which I need to read through. Desktop line of business apps, check, I can run those. Office, biggest productivity suite in the enterprise, I can run that, check. Being able to attach a USB device or drive, check. Printing via USB or network, check. Windows device compatibility, so if you think of all the devices out there, you know, that's supported, check. Adobe Flash and Java support and desktop IE, check. Full multi-user capable, check. I can actually have two users log on to a single device and have their own personalized experience. And data separated. Side-by-side multitasking, check. Device level encryption with BitLocker, check. Metering for costed networks like mobile broadband, check. Quick at a glance status on the lock screen and live tiles, check. Cloud connected, check. Multi-monitor cable, check. Seamless secure access to corporate networks depending on your environment, check. Client hypervisor, check. Basically, it is a Windows PC. The Windows PC reimagined, as you might have heard the phrase coined. But also what's great about this is that customers can manage and secure these devices with the same management and security solutions they've already got to manage their Windows environment. Okay, so hopefully this is going to work. We had some slight technical problems earlier. So we're just going to have a quick look. Oh, where's my desktop? We're just going to quickly go through the UI. There's two things we just want to show. It's basically the beauty between, you know, switching between mouse and keyboard and also the touch features. Now, unfortunately, this is quite a narrow screen. I've got a lovely wide screen here. But we'll work through that. With touch gestures, it's all about swiping from the side. Okay, so I can swipe from one side, get the charms. The other side, I can go through my applications that I've got running. If I've got an application open, let's go to, say, what do I want? What was that? I'm hard on the eyes, sorry about that. Yeah, it's like psychedelic. So if I swipe from the top or the bottom, I get options for the application. So if I've done different searches in Price Buy, you know, it'll show me those searches. So it's all about the sides. Now, I'm going to do some more swiping. Hopefully, just not too much. I'll do it slower. Okay, so weather. Okay, I'm really interested in finding the weather for Hamilton. Any Hamiltonites here? Yeah, cool. Right, so I'm just going to select Hamilton. And so, you know, I swipe from the side, my search, you know, the same search that I use for everything, lets me search. Now, if I just go into, I think I opened too many at the beginning. Okay, this is Bing Travel. Okay, so if I swipe from the side again and go search, and go, I'm just going to use my proper keyboard here. Spell it right. Hamilton. Okay, so that gives me... Have we got any panoramas of Hamilton? No, we haven't. But you've kind of got this unified search across, you know, whatever application you're using, it's got a contract into search, so you can go and search in the same method through all of these Windows 8 apps. Now with the map, with the mouse, it's all about the corners. So touch from the sides and you know, top and bottom and the sides. With the mouse, it's all about the corners. So, a bigger thing that people say is, Windows 8, oh, there's no start button, it's gone. I can't handle that. Okay, now imagine I'm using Windows 7. Okay, I'm just going to go down and get to my desktop. Okay, there's my desktop, right? So I want to open an application. What do? I get my mouse and I go down to the bottom left corner where my start button used to be, and there's a button there. Okay, so while it's not visibly there, it's still kind of there. When I actually go into this, what usually happens, it usually brings up my start menu where I've basically put a whole lot of the applications that I use frequently so I can get easy access to them. So what happens? Bam, I click on that and I get my start menu. And now I've kind of grouped those into Office and some Live Info and some work stuff so I can, you know, manage it properly. But these are the applications that I use, you know, all the time, and they're kind of logically laid out so I can get easy access to them. And I've put my Office applications here so I can easily go from that start position up to the applications I kind of use most. Also, this is how I open applications, right? So in Windows 7, if I want to open an application, I want to open Word, okay? So I hit the Windows key, I hit W-O, and it takes me into Word. If I want to open Excel, EXC, open Excel. So that's what I used to do in Windows 7, and I'm still doing it in Windows 8. So it's really about the fact that, okay, yes, that start button isn't there, but all those processes that we used to do are still the same. Okay, let's go back. So let's talk about apps. Obviously, at GA, there's going to be thousands of apps which are going to be released into the Windows Store. So they're all the consumer apps. Then we've got those line of business apps, whether it's been developed by an ISV or whether it's been built in-house. So why would you build business apps for Windows 8? So, you know, the Windows UI is perfect for these new form factors, these new innovative devices that our hardware partners are bringing out. You know, the devices, they're touch-enabled. You know, they've got longer battery life, and it's all designed for mobility, and you really need an OS which is going to make the most of those characteristics. You can also enable a whole lot of new productivity scenarios with the touch interface, things that you haven't been able to do on desktops and laptops in the past. You know, the desktop app, in some instances, sometimes just feels like you're trying to squeeze too much information into this small window, where it would be far better if it was kind of logically laid out in this touch-friendly panorama where you can get, you know, the information that you want for the task at hand easily. Performance. They start up faster. They use less resources. And because of the application architecture, they run faster. And there's a whole lot of dev tracks, so if you're interested in that, you go see those. Security is much more secure because each of the applications run in their own secure container. As far as developers are concerned, you know, they can leverage the skills they already have. They can use the same tools, they can use the same languages, they can use the same back-end infrastructure that they already know and have. And as far as deployment's easy. Sideloading of deployment of Windows-style apps is very easy in the enterprise, as well as having the consumer-based install through Windows Store. So let's look at some scenarios, just to kind of add a bit of, you know, reality to it. Think about point-of-sale systems. What are they now? In most cases, it's an old PC under a counter, you know, mouse, keyboard, usually a terrible screen, a mesh of cables. Imagine replacing that with, you know, a touch-enabled device. Next to no cables, no keyboards, no mouse, and aesthetically pleasing in the front of, you know, your retail shop. If we look at product catalogs. Imagine your salespeople being able to go to a customer's site, whether it's an industry or retail or whatever the case may be, and be able to, you know, scan through the different products you've got. And if they're interested in one, you can, you know, zoom in and drill down into more information. And then you can kind of convert into a transactional type process all inside your application. Then you've got dashboards. You might have, you know, senior executives that want to drill down into KPIs. So they kind of get this lovely dashboard of all the KPIs, and then they can drill down with the application that you've designed for them. What about field apps? Think of a utility serviceman or person. And they've got their ruggedized tablet sitting in their vehicle. And they're sitting there, you know, it's connected to mobile. They get the job through. They open it up. That connects to maps, directs them to the location, you know. Then they get there and they need to take the device out and do some work out, and then they can put it back. All possible. Then workflow management. Imagine an insurance quote, going through an insurance quote, you know, digitally, and at the end getting them to sign it off to basically authorise the process. Now, I could talk about what is possible all day, but I'd rather talk about what is real and happening today. So I'd like just to introduce to you Craig Lacaine, the General Manager of ICT from Plunkett. Please give him a warm welcome.
Good morning, all. Thank you. I left my wife in Wellington, so I'll just get this plugged in. Okay. Well, thank you very much. For those of you who don't know much about Plunkett, we'll just swap over. Which one will be swapped over?
Oh, right.
For those who don't know much about Plunkett, Plunkett is an iconic New Zealand brand, and Plunkett is in most communities across New Zealand. And the aim of Plunkett is it's a community not-for-profit organisation, which is really about providing support to families and children throughout New Zealand. Now, Plunkett was founded in 1907 by Sir Truby King. And what led him to found Plunkett was that he needed to give the mothers some support around childcare, and we had malnutrition and disease rife at that time throughout New Zealand. And for Plunkett, it was all about the focus of the family and the child, and it has not changed in that time. And Plunkett has just not long turned 100 years old. And for Plunkett, what we want to do is remain relevant and be here for another 100 years. And so key to that has been about how we adopt technology. Now, when Plunkett does start adopting technology, I'm pretty sure we'll start putting some filing cabinet businesses out of business. And we've got this unique challenge that we need to do about 25 years of technology in three. And so we've been looking at this and how we can use it. And our approach to this has been to come up with an app called Plunkett Plus. Now, Plunkett Plus we've been dreaming about since the mid-90s, but we've been waiting for the technology to come up to speed with us, and that technology is here now. And so we've started developing this app in conjunction with IntraHealth and Marker Metro and support from Microsoft. And so this front page of our app represents a day in the life of a Plunkett nurse. Now, I will be doing some swiping, so my apology. So this is the landing page of a Plunkett nurse. Now, just one thing before I start. This is an app that's under development, and there's still some parts to go, but we are well along the track. So a Plunkett nurse has her landing page. She obviously has her view of the calendar, what activities are for the day. Some key messages that the clinical leaders might want to get across. So in this case, whooping cough in the area. There could be, you know, we've got, you know, come and collect your petrol vouchers, don't forget to put your timesheets in. It could be any key activity that we want to make them aware of. We've then got the clients, so who are our clients for the day, and then we can delve in and see what they're up to. And then we've also then got a map which is starting to tell us what the activities are for the day and where we're about to go. So if I pop into Amelie. Now, Amelie here, when we see this page, has all the information about Amelie in one space for our nurse. Now, what's nice about this app is that we're using the whole width of the screen. So we're not, in fact, beyond the width of the screen. We're putting all the information that the nurse needs to know on one page. So Amelia has now got every bit of information about her, what her case information is, all the relationships, her family, and then out here some more detail about exactly where she lives in her community. I can also swipe from the top or bottom, and I can go into some timelines. So this is a really nice view for our nurse about, in one go, about all the activities that Amelia has done with Plunkett. So has she had a visit, has she got any upcoming visits, and has she missed or got any other activities with Plunkett? Now we can drop into some more detail, into the clinical notes. Now, this is one of the reasons why we chose Windows 8 as one of our platforms going forward, is with Plunkett we hold health information, and we've got requirements under privacy and health standards to make sure that they're there. And as I start going in, you'll start seeing that, you know, there's a reasonable amount of information. Now, those of you who've got children, you'll start to recognise the Well Child book, or as more commonly known, the Plunkett book. All those charts and growth charts, you'll see them there. But when I pop into the next slide, which is around the clinical views, this starts getting down to the real detail, which has quite in-depth health notes about the child and, in some cases, the family. And then in this one, we start to get a view of all the activities that we've had with that family. So Windows 8 is important for us because it offers the BitLocker security components. It also allows us to manage that security and that encryption centrally. And that is a high criteria for us. We can also then start using the power of the Windows 8. If we can do our search, just there highlighted, you can see that we then start doing our search from or into Plunkett Plus from the search which is provided with Windows 8. And there's a search going into the application, so it's very much focused on the application. We also in the future would like to use the share function. So that'll be the ability to then email, have some sort of web interface that will allow the parents and the extended families to come in and check in and possibly even make comment on some of the notes about their families and their well-being. So we've had our interaction with the family. We can then start going into our planning component. Now, we can start doing things like expanding and narrowing the fields down the bottom, and we can start talking about some future appointments. In this case, we're going to push young Amelia out sometime into September, and we literally are just going to drag her down and put her into the appointment. I can then click on that and start filling out some more information about why we want to catch up with her. It could be a 12-month immunisation. We think the appointment's going to be 60 minutes long. We'll change that to something shorter, 30 minutes, because it's only going to be a jab and some jelly beans. And then we can save that. That allows me then come back to the calendar, and all my future appointments with Amelia are now out here in this case October. We've got a pretty lazy Plunkett nurse here, I think. It's not doing a lot. So the whole idea is that the device is light, it's really easy to use. A lot of our staff, a lot of the community that are make up Plunkett, they're not necessarily that au fait with using computers, full stop. As I said, we've been a paper-based organisation for a long time. So the clean, easy-to-use interface is absolutely key to this being successful. This will be a huge rollout for us. We have some 800 frontline staff that are Plunkett nurses, and we have some 5,000 volunteers who will all be expected to come in and start using this. So from our point of view and my team's point of view, being able to manage this centrally using our existing infrastructure, such as our system centre, being able to make sure we comply with all the health and privacy codes, that is absolutely key success criteria for us. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is Plunkett Plus, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Craig.
Really, really good. Really, really good.
Okay, so that kind of gives you a real-world example how one of our customers is actually using Windows 8 and Windows 8-style apps in their business. So let's talk about delivering these apps. You know, how do we deliver them? Now, obviously in the consumer space, generally it's going to be through the Windows Store. And that will be to both, you know, it'll be to both Windows x86, Windows 8 x86 devices, and also Windows RT. So those that aren't aware, Windows RT is a new member to the Windows family, and it's basically Windows on ARM architecture. And there's a lot of commonality between the two, but there is also some distinct differences, which we'll kind of cover as we go through. Desktop apps. Now, desktop apps will also or could appear in the Windows Store, but when you actually go and search for it, maybe say Adobe Reader, it will show up in the store, but it will just have a link, which is basically taking you to a website so you can download and install it. What about those line of business apps? That would, like, say, take Plunkett Plus for instance. You know, Plunkett wouldn't really want that app sitting on the Windows Store where the general public can get access to it and install it. So in that instance, we can sideload those apps. And there's a number of ways we can do that. We can build it into the image. So when we create the image, we can install them then. So when it's deployed, it's part of the image. We can use PowerShell scripting. We can use Config Manager, next release. Intune. OK, didn't know that one, but that's OK. Oh, that, yes, yeah, Intune. Yeah, OK. Windows RT devices are slightly different. Now, they're not domain joined. Okay, so in that instance, customers can use the self-service portal, and it kind of creates a company hub where they can basically advertise all the internal line of business applications or even applications which are in the Windows Store. So you've got this ease of deployment across both consumer and all those enterprise line of business apps, you know, to both of the architectures. So let's just change tack and talk about devices. You know, desktops we've known for years. Laptops, it's kind of changed recently. All of a sudden we've got these nice laptops, and like I said, I've got a big list of things that, you know, my wife wants and what I want and what the kids want, and I'm going to have a second job to buy all these new devices. But, you know, laptops have really changed. But then we're getting into this kind of this hybrid, you know, tablet laptop and tablets coming out. And, you know, obviously, with Windows XP Tablet Edition many years ago, we kind of commercialized the first tablet, but the experience probably wasn't what it needed to be. It was more like a desktop OS with touch on top, and it just didn't work well and never took off. But Windows 8 really is an OS for those tablets. And as far as enterprise tablets are concerned, I would say it is the only enterprise tablet out there when you take into consideration all those requirements that the enterprise need. So, another thing that it's done, it's also kind of taken the device from being that companion device to being a primary device for some users. You know, there's a lot of people that have their tablet as a companion device. In many instances, this could fully replace their primary device, depending on their type of work style. So now we're going to talk about devices, so I'm just going to get Ant to come up, and he's just going to show you some of the new stuff that our hardware vendors have lent us from the Microsoft stand.
Awesome. So I'm actually not going to come up. I'm going to stand down here with these devices.
Okay.
I'm going to just run through a few of these. I've got a bunch of these. I've got 6, 7 here. Plus, we've got a whole bunch more down at the stand. So this is the new Samsung 9 series. Really, really, really cool. If you've seen the original one, this is thinner, lighter, faster, better, all that good stuff. No touch, keyboard, mouse. Good executive level. One of the ones that I was quite surprised at today was this Acer Iconia, a quad-core Intel. Incredibly thin. I haven't seen anything this thin ever in the tablet space. You can play with this yourself. It'll be down at the stand shortly. This is one of the new Atom processor Windows 8 devices. Very, very cool. Long battery life. We've got a Toshiba WT200, I think it's called. This is another Atom Windows 8 device. We've got a HT Spectre XT. This is the latest one from HP. Actually, HP are giving two of these away if you want to get your hands on something. Same sort of weight as a MacBook Air. So obviously, did I mention our competitors? Not sure. But anyway, this is very cool. Go and fill in a form at the HP stand. Two of these will be given away on the last day. Very, very nice. We've got this other. We've got another Acer here. This is sort of a. This is one of the Ultrabook tablets. So the Core i5s or i7s sort of slides out, full tablet. Slide it back into its docking bay. Docking bay has, you know, the power and Ethernet, all that good stuff. And one of the ones that we use a lot at Microsoft is the Samsung Series 7 slate, which is a full Ultrabook slate again. Really, really nice. A number of our customers are using these. And this has been out now. I think this is the January model. It's been out since January, and we've had the prototypes of these out since last TechEd, if anyone remembers those. Very cool, great, some really great devices. All of these will be at the stand, plus another, you know, two dozen or so more. So check them all out. A lot of good fun. A lot of good fun to have here. Back to you.
Thank you. And you also might notice on this Samsung one, I'm not sure if you can see it, there's a bit of an engraving here. So it's actually got Windows Server 2012. So while I do virtualization and some of the other stuff, I'm also involved in the Windows Server V team. So if you go to any of the server tracks, there's a possibility that you could win one of these. So how many are there?
15.
There's 15 of them. So if this looks fantastic, come along to our Windows Server tracks, as well as the Windows tracks and the virtualization tracks. And anyway, I'm pulled in so many different ways. Okay, so as you can see, there's, you know, Windows gives you this great variety of devices that you can use, and each is kind of specialized, you know, for a specific purpose. And I was thinking about using the tomato analogy in this one, but it didn't really work, so I went with the initial one that I had, which was cars. But I added a couple of cars in there, which I own, just so I make, you know, it's a bit more real to me. So is there any Ferrari California owners in the house? No, neither. What about Defender owners? Oh, we can't wave at each other. You know, Defender owners, they wave at each other when they drive past. I don't know them, but, you know, they're like family. But anyway, you've got these general all-purpose type vehicles. You know, the cars that you drive to the supermarket and drive to work and drive around town. They're perfect for, you know, that type of scenario. Then you've got the specialized vehicles. So you might have a four-wheel drive, which can drive into the mountains and ford rivers and, you know, drive on the dirt roads. You know, they're made rugged for the particular purpose that they're made for. Then you've got sports cars, and sports cars are made for performance and speed. You know, they're not very good taking to the supermarket because you can't usually find a car park wide enough so people don't ding your doors. And also, you know, they're not good for taking into the mountains or taking off-road, but they have a specific purpose, and that's for speed and performance. And that's how we kind of approach the Windows RT devices. You know, all the design decisions around Windows RT is all about mobility. You look at the sleek form factors, and unfortunately, they haven't given us any RT device to show yet. They'll be coming, not at TechEd, but in the near future. But they've got those sleek, thin form factors. They're lower power consumption, so they get longer battery life. You know, you can really think of it as like a consumer electronics device. You can't really tamper with it. You can install your Windows 8 apps, which is where you're going to spend your most time, and yeah, it's got kind of a desktop behind, but you can't install desktop apps. And while some might see that as a bit of a disadvantage, the advantage it gives you is the fact that we can kind of guarantee this performance of the device over time because we haven't got all these other desktop apps, you know, causing performance degradation. But there is a lot of commonality between the two. So if you look at the two, obviously the UI is the same. All the Windows apps will work on both. And peripherals, if they work on Windows 8 in the XT space, most of them will work on Windows RT. It's all about what's built into Windows 8. The devices are also encrypted, BitLocker encrypted, so they're secure. You know, and while it's kind of optimized for mobility, and we expect a lot of consumers to buy these devices, we also expect the enterprise, in some scenarios, to use them as the device of choice for specific scenarios. With that in mind, we've built in a whole lot of features which basically make it more attractive to use them in the enterprise. So if we look at those things, they've got Office 15 pre-installed. They've also got a number of VPN clients built in, so and that will really help, you know, connecting to your corporate networks to, you know, access, you know, intranets and document management solutions and the like. Also, if you're connecting to business apps on RDS and VDI, there's full support for RDS and VDI in the Windows RT device. And you can also manage them very much like you might a smartphone with Exchange Active Sync. Yeah, there's a lot of things on there, you may not be able to read them, but I'm just going to touch on them. Flexible work style, though, is more than just the OS. Yes, it gives us you know, a whole lot of more features which, you know, enable a flexible work style. But to really have the full enablement of flexible work style, you really need Windows with software assurance. And what software assurance gives you is the enterprise version of Windows. And that has a number of new features as well as improved features to basically enhance this this work style type concept. So there's Windows to go and client Hyper-V. Okay, so there are two new technologies which are in there. There's also a whole lot of improvements in direct access and branch cache, and also VDI, and there's sessions on VDI. I'm going to touch on the other ones. For an additional purchase with SA, you can get MDOP, Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack, and that gives you another suite of utilities and tools which further enhance flexible work styles. So if you think about user experience virtualization, it kind of takes your personality and all your settings from one device and ports it to all your other devices, even if it's in solutions like VDI or remote desktop services. So you get that personalized, consistent experience no matter what platform you're connecting to. Application virtualization, hopefully many of you are familiar with that, being able to virtualize an application, being able to stream the applications down on demand to the desktop and have it running in its own secure environment. BitLocker Advanced, administration monitoring, being able to manage BitLocker in the enterprise easier. Advanced group policy management, giving you change and release management and group policy, which doesn't come out of the box in AD. And also being able to roll back those group policies if it causes an issue, and actually being able to see what changes someone has made. A lot of those things are all in MDOP. Now, there's one thing I have to check on. I've been told that MedV only works on Windows 7, so I'm not sure what the path forward for MedV is. Ben Armstrong might be the man to talk to about that. I'll try to find out for you. Then there's also licensing improvements. Now, I'm not a licensing guy. That is a job in itself. And so what you need to do is go talk to your lab. But there is a whole lot of stuff around Windows to go, usage rights, you know, because you're basically going to use your corporate image on a personal PC. Also, there's the companion device licensing, and that's more around kind of the RT device and connecting to the likes of VDI. Now, Windows to go. We'll just kind of delve into a couple of these technologies and show you. So Windows to go, it really is a portable workspace. It is your corporate image on your USB key. Okay, it's a special USB key, so don't go out and buy any 32 gig USB key like I did and find out that it doesn't work. Well, it actually looked exactly the same, but this is a G nothing, and the one I bought was a G2 and it didn't work. Specifically, it has to be able to be recognized as a fixed drive rather than removable media. Fixed drive means we can have two partitions on it, and those two partitions allow BitLocker to run on it. But let's just look at Windows to go and kind of how it works. Traditionally, we've got our device, we boot off the hard drive, connects to the network, and then, you know, there's a whole lot of services, you know, management tools that sync our data and stuff like that, deliver applications, and that's how we kind of work traditionally. With Windows to go, we've got a device, we could have any operating system on it, could have no operating system on it, and we take our USB key and we plug it in the side and we boot off that USB key, so we have to be able to boot off the USB key. And then those same services that were syncing our data and settings work again to a Windows to go device. Then we go home. We take it, or we shut it down, best to shut it down. Take it home, plug it into our Windows Home, you know, our home PC, that could be any operating system again, boot off it, and we get our same corporate image on that. Now, if we've got direct access configured in it, that means it's going to connect back to all our corporate resources all seamlessly as well. If it hasn't, well, I can still use it offline and still get a lot of the functionality out of my image. So what I'm going to do is I think it's number two. Oh, no, don't press that button. Hopefully that did stuff in the thing. Okay, so this is one of my colleague's laptops, which I borrowed, and I just want to show you a couple of things. So I'm just going to go in here and show you that in the computer that there's two drives in there. There's a 200 gig drive and a 490 gig drive. Also, I'm just going to go down here. One of the things I forgot to show you is if you hit Windows X, you kind of get this little start menu down in your bottom left, and it's got a whole lot of, you know, handy utilities that you might want to use. And also, you can actually add your own shortcuts to it, kind of like a pseudo start menu. So I just want to show you under system that this machine is a random name called 1810053. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my USB key and I'm going to plug it in the side, and I'm going to go down to restart this machine. So hopefully that won't take too long. While we're waiting, I'll just talk about some scenarios where this might work, and I'll kind of keep my eyes on the screen at the same time so I don't miss the boot process. This is pause for effect. Okay, and F9. Okay, you guys can't actually see it. That's just, okay, right. Hopefully you'll see it when Windows comes back. So I've just selected the boot menu so I can select my USB drive. I've selected it, and now it's starting to boot into, oh, it's actually asking me for BitLocker, my BitLocker pin. So I can have a BitLocker pin on it. So obviously, you know, that corporate image could have, you know, sensitive corporate data on it. So you want to make sure that it's secure. So that's why we need the special fixed drive one, so we can use BitLocker, so we can have pins, so we can have the whole device encrypted. And it's actually a different pin than the one that's on the machine. Okay, so while that's booting, let's just talk about some other stuff. So let's think about some scenarios where this might work. Travelling lights. I would much rather, when I cycle to work, I would much rather take my USB device than my big chunky laptop. So travelling lights, fantastic, just being able to switch it between devices. Also, think about bring your own device. You know, you've got someone that wants to use their own device, but, you know, what is the state of the OS? Is it, you know, is it infested with viruses and stuff like that? In this instance, they're basically booting off your corporate image, so it's secured and managed in exactly the same way any of your other PCs would be managed. So you can enable bring your own device in this scenario. Also, contingent staff, you've got contractors coming in, and they bring their own laptop. Similar scenario. So kind of, I can't, well, I could, but I won't. You know, you kind of look at Windows to go versus VDI. Windows to go, VDI, cheap versus can be very expensive. You know, if you've only got a small requirement for VDI or that type of scenario, then this type of implementation, this type of solution might be better for you. So, right, it's actually booted now. Okay, so I'm just going to log on, so... So I'm going to start menu. I'm just going to quickly go in and open my computer, and you can see that instead of having those two drives, I've just got the 32 gig drive or the 64 gig drive or whatever you've got. Now the importance of that is,
if you give it to contingent staff and they've got their laptop underneath and they access corporate data, you don't want to give them an easy way of basically taking that data from you know, your environment and putting it onto the USB key and onto their machine and walking away with it. So there is no kind of links between the underlying operating system and the Windows to go operating system. Another important thing to show is, I'll just go down here just to prove that this is a different box. Okay, so this one is just WTG. I was being really creative at that time. My wife wasn't helping me, so I ended up with something boring. Okay, and you can do cool things like, you know, I'm playing a video here. Just turn off the volume. So you can, all this video is actually is playing off my USB key. So I've got the operating system running, and I've got, so I've got the operating system running, and I've got a video playing. Okay. Yes, well, you might actually do this in a real scenario. You might accidentally pull out the key. And so what would you think would happen? Blue screen or something like that? But you've actually got 60 seconds. If in some kind of weird scenario you pulled it out or it got knocked out by accident, you can actually reinsert it. And if everything goes well, it will just start up again. Well, it's actually told me I'm a bit of a silly person, and I shouldn't have pulled it out. But you can see, you know, it's a perfect alternative in some scenarios for bring your own device and really fantastic product. Okay, let's just jump back to the slides. I'm going to quickly touch on mobile broadband and improvements. So you've got the ability now to determine whether you actually download those security updates when you're connected via mobile broadband. And I know some people that have accidentally downloaded lots of updates, and it's cost them a lot of money. Terry Chapman. Also, you can build into an application to be aware of a metered connection, so it can kind of scale the image quality or the video quality or the buffer size, so you're actually, you know, downloading less over that connection. There's a whole lot of metering built into the connection, so you can turn any connection into a metered connection, so you can actually tell how much data has been going across that connection. And service providers, so if there's anyone from Telecom or Vodafone in the house, you make sure that they make the customised ones, so you can actually have a customised metering system built into it. Now, we'll just touch on direct access. So direct access basically gives you the ability, well, flexible work style. Flexible work style, you want to be able to work from anywhere. I'll get my bag. My bag is my office. So this is my bag. I carry this around everywhere, and no matter where I go, what I've got in that bag will allow me to do my work the same as when I'm in my office. So it's got my laptop, it's got my headsets, you know, which I use through Link. I've got my cell phone and just a couple other things like my mobile broadband stick. No matter where I go, so whether I'm at home, whether I'm on, I'm not going to say holiday because I wouldn't be working on holiday, but whether I've gone away, you know, to work in some other country, city, town, you know, I'm going to be able to work in exactly the same way as I'm working in the office in this other location. You think about traditional VPN. Traditional VPN, you get an email and it's got a link on it, and you click it, it takes you to some internal website, and it doesn't work because you're not connected. So you go, oh, I'm not connected. So you get your token or your smart card or whatever the case may be, and you open your client and you log on and wait for it to authenticate, and then finally you can go back and click it. There's none of that with direct access. Direct access is basically always on, always connected. And it gives you that seamless, secure access to those corporate devices that you really want. One thing to note, since Windows RT doesn't, it's not domain joined, there's no way of joining it to the domain, you'd have to use the inbuilt VPN clients for those type of devices. Also, in the Windows 8 UI, we now have direct access. With Windows 7, it was kind of this invisible thing that happened behind the scenes. You had to run some weird scripts to kind of get, you know, logging or any kind of reports out of it or see if it's actually connected or not.
and how it's all built into the UI. Branch cache, so there's been improvements with branch cache, easier to deploy, scales better, easier to manage. But one thing I do want to draw your attention to is the branch office direct printing. What happens with printing these days? You're out in a branch, okay, there's no servers there. Your print servers are sitting on the other side of a WAN in some, you know, your head office or whatever the case is. So you get this document you want to print. You open up, you click print, and then it spools that document across to your print server across the WAN link. It's all spooled, and then what happens? The print server sends all the way back to that printer, which is just 5 meters away from you. Obviously not efficient, efficient usage of your WAN links. With direct printing, what happens is when you go print, it actually does a print request. Okay, and the most that could come back from the print server is the print drivers and the print configuration. So it goes, oh, you've already got the drivers, yes, okay, well, I'll just send you the print configuration. And then the print goes directly from my computer to the printer that's 5 meters away. So a significant change in how that works. And then you've got, obviously, all the traditional advantages of branch cache. So Windows 8 really is the operating system for those branch environments that doesn't have server infrastructure. Client Hyper-V. So Client Hyper-V is our hypervisor for the client. And if you look at it, if you're familiar with Hyper-V, you look at Client Hyper-V and there's I struggle to see any differences as far as the UI. Obviously there are some differences. One of the main differences, if you're interested, is you can actually connect a USB device to the host machine or your PC, and you can actually connect to that from inside the virtual machine, which you can't obviously do with server Hyper-V because that poses some security problems. So it allows you to run all these different operating systems on top of your Windows 8 PC. So whether it's Windows 7, 8, 2012, whether it's Linux, or whatever server Hyper-V supports, client Hyper-V will support. So who might use these? Developers. Developers might use this. They can have their dev test environments, and they can test their applications all on their laptop rather than needing additional hardware. IT pros might do the same thing. You might want to install the latest version of, you know, Config Manager 2012 SP1 and just see what it's like. Okay, so they might do that in kind of a test environment on their laptops. Also, sales and you know, consulting people might have a demo of an environment or of software of a solution. They can go out with a whole demo environment on their machine. You can set up networks and you can have throttled networks between all the machines. It's quite extensive as far as the functionality is concerned. We talked right at the beginning around the fact that, yes, we've got all these personalised experiences and we've got productivity everywhere, but we also need that intelligent infrastructure behind. We need to be able to have this optimised application delivery mechanism. We need to have unified management, whether it's on-premise or whether it's in the cloud. And we also need that end-to-end access. System Center Config Manager 2012 is key to that. It allows us to deliver all those different types of apps, whether it's App-V, native apps. You could even use it to send RDS apps to workstations, MedV. Then it also does all your Windows updates. It does all your anti-malware. It also manages all your devices, whether it's, you know, your PCs or whether it's your tablets. And then when you've got Windows Intune, then you've been able to start managing devices that aren't Windows devices. And then as far as applications are concerned, we've got all our online services. We've got all our Office web apps. So we've really kind of got all those bases covered for all those different scenarios you could think about. And just because of time, we'll just go to the last slide. So like I said, it's really around that devices and experiences that users love. It's around those enterprise-grade solutions. And as we've been going through, we've seen that Windows 8 is the no-compromise business tablet. We've looked at all those features, and it really just proves itself that it is that no-compromise business tablet. Also, there's all these new possibilities in mobile productivity that have been lit up. We've got that end-to-end enhanced security managed through all those management systems that we've got. And we've talked about some of them, BitLocker, and unfortunately we weren't able to talk about dynamic access control. and also the whole management stack behind all the devices. So truly, Windows 8 is for the enterprise. So I'd just like to thank you for spending that time with us. And just remember, the Windows session track was brought to you by the number 5. Now, if the eval is actually only up to 4, it was brought to you by the number 4. Thank you very much.